Hey, it's Scott Petrick with another episode of the Brown Zone Zone Coverage Podcast. It's free agency week, and the Browns have been busy. General manager Andrew Berry has reached deals with defensive tackle Dalvin Tomlinson, defensive end Obonya Okoronkwo, safety Juan Thornhill, and defensive tackle Maurice Hurst. He also re-signed linebacker Sione Takitaki, center Ethan Posick, and cornerback A.J. Green. Here to discuss the moves is Dave Chudowski of Go, WKYC Morning News. Chud, how are you?
I'm good. How are you after that pronunciation?
I tell you what, I almost wanted to give it to you. You're the professional pronouncing stuff. I've been working on it all morning. I probably butchered it anyway, but
good job. Well, I said it the other morning, and I'm not sure if I said it right, especially when I see the pronouncer now officially by the Browns. But I'm good, man. I mean, I love March. I this is such a great time of the year because, you know, spring is coming and winter is almost gone. Still here, but, you know, then you got St. Patrick's Day. Obviously, we're taping this on Thursday, the beginning of March Madness. I got a lot of personal things going on in my life in March that are fun. So I'm just, and I got NFL free agency, just a great month, at least for me personally. But for everybody, there's just so much going on.
Yeah, there is. I'll tell you what, you're 100% right. And I'm hoping to get a chance to watch a lot of basketball, including my Northwestern Wildcats tonight. But free agency, it's such a grind, Chud, that it takes your focus. Like, I didn't get to, you know, I'm in a bunch of different NCAA pools and stuff. It was like last night at 10 o'clock, I finally got to look at a bracket and, you know, spent about 8 minutes kind of picking teams and for all the different pools. Just because you never know with free agency. You're glued to the phone. I'm glued to the phone. The Browns made moves at, you know, I think it's after 11 o'clock the last – or Monday and Wednesday, they agreed to deals with guys. So, you know, it's a grind. Obviously, it's good for the Browns being able to add people. I think it's good for the fans, gets them excited. But I haven't been really to – I haven't been able to let my focus kind of spread outside of what the Browns are doing.
I know. It seems as every year I get older and my kids, you know, once I start having kids and they get older, it's not the same anyway with March Madness. You try to make it that way, but there's just so much going on in life. It's hard. You can't just sit by a TV from noon until midnight like you did back in the day, right?
No, but you can't. But if you can find your way to a bar one of the days to do it, it's a good idea.
No question. But brackets aren't as exciting for me to fill out as they used to be. So now I involve my kids. And a couple years ago, my daughters came in second place and almost won the work NCAA pool, right? So I decided to, you know, just have them do it here the last few years. So last night, I'm like, all right, we got to fill this out real quick. I thought it'd be fun. No, it was anything but. They were arguing about who to take. You know, my one daughter wants to take this team. The other one's like, no, it's got to be this. And then I'm like, all right, well, you pick here. All right, now Brooklyn, you go here, London there. And it's like they're debating. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is worse than if I just did it because, that you know, they can't come to a decision. So anyway, they did pretty good. They did pretty good, though. It's a fun time of the year, no question. And, hey, I look forward to Kent State, too. I did a story on them a few weeks ago. And I'm pumped up about Rob Senderoff, great coach, great program. So good luck to them. Second to last game, I think, tomorrow night.
Is it tomorrow night?
Against
they
Indiana.
Can make a run. They can make a run. I think
so.
Chud. Yeah.
I do. I think so. I really do. So it's not going to be an easy one for Indiana, certainly. So go Golden Flashes.
Yeah. No, you're right. I talked to some people that know Kent and know – you know, college basketball better than I do. And they really think they're legit. And if you look at that, you know, if they can get past Indiana, I think they can go on a little bit of a run. I really do. So that'd be fun. That'd be fun for sure.
Yeah, no question. All right, well, let's dig into the free agency here. Without breaking down every person right away, just your thoughts overall. Do you think the Browns have done well? Do you think they missed out on too many guys, bigger name guys? How do you feel?
Yeah, I think the focus has to be on the additions to the defense. And we've been talking about it since last season, right? That's where the biggest improvements needed to be made, especially up front. The Browns needed at least one defensive tackle, maybe more. They needed the end opposite Myles Garrett. And then they needed a safety when they decided to cut John Johnson the third. So to me, those are the most screaming needs on this team. And Andrew Berry went and addressed them all. Now, it's too early, obviously, I haven't seen the field, to tell exactly how well these players are going to fit and how well these players are going to play. And that's what it all comes down to, right? When they signed Austin Hooper, it felt like a good signing because they needed a tight end. When they signed John Johnson III, it felt like a good signing because they needed a safety. Now, those guys didn't pan out like the Browns had hoped, but I think there can be comfort taken in that Andrew Berry knows what the weaknesses are, which are obvious, but then finds a way to address them, right? So I think if you look at those picks, or if you look at those players, if you look at the new defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz, who builds around the defensive line, it just made sense to go find a big name, high priced defensive tackle, which it did in Dalvin Tomlinson, and then go get the end. And for now, we're calling, you know, Ogbo, because that's what Kevin Stefanski called him in the press release, because it's, you know, OGBO, but, you know, or Karankro. You know, those are the two big needs. Now, they had other options, but I know that Ogbo was one of the guys that they had targeted heading into free agency at end. So they got him, and it's a reasonable deal. You know, I think it's 3 years, $19 million. You're not breaking the bank there. Doesn't have a ton of production in his career. Played outside linebacker for a few years with the Rams before switching to defensive end in the 4-3 with Houston last year. And then for the first time in his career, started at the end of the season, the last 8 games, and really played well, including against the Browns on December 4th in the Deshaun Watson back to Houston game. All 5 of his sacks came over the last 8 games last year. So the Browns believe he's a guy on the rise. There's a lot of athleticism. He can turn the corner. He's got a spin move. Looks like he plays with a high motor. So to me, my favorite part of that is, if you're a Browns fan, is that now there's hope that they have a somewhat long-term answer to be the bookend to Myles Garrett. That was not the case when Olivier Vernon was here for those couple of years, right? He was older. He was running out, this kind of playing out the string. He played at a high level, but then he gets hurt. But it wasn't like, okay, Vernon's going to be here for the next 4 or 5 years. Jadeveon Clowney, they were both one-year contracts, right, in the last 2 years. So that was temporary. This feels like if Ogbo, I'm not exactly sure how I'm pronouncing that correctly, but if he plays at the level that the Browns hope, then you can say, okay, for the next 3 or 4 years, you have your two defensive ends, and that position is so important. So I like it from that aspect. I like the contract, right? Nobody was breaking the bank in this free agent class at defensive end. In fact, Clowney still might become the highest paid guy from this class. So I think that's fine. And then Tomlinson, you know, it's 4 years, $57 million. That's a lot of money. But we knew the Browns were going to spend a lot of money on a defensive tackle. They just could not afford not to. They could not wait until the draft at number 42 to try to find that one cornerstone, that one anchor in the middle. So Tomlinson serves that purpose. Now he's more of a run stopper. You know, he can rush a quarterback some. He had 2.5 sacks last year, but he's 325 pounds. He's a big dude you can put in the middle. And how many times last year do we talk about how bad the run defense was, Chud? So
yeah, they needed a guy of that size, that big. I mean, they don't have anyone that, right, that size?
No, you're exactly right. They don't. I mean, you know, Jordan Elliott, I forget if he told me he got up to 320 last year, but I don't think he plays like he's 320. You know, he's not the double team, the taker honor. I know that's not a word, but he's not the kind of guy that you see there and, you know, takes on double teams like, you know, Vita Vea, you know, somebody like that. And I think that's what Tomlinson can do and is built to do. What's interesting to me is that, yes, that was a huge need for the Browns, and I think it was important that they addressed it in that way. But if you look at the couple of other guys that they had been connected to and that they were interested in, and heading into free agency, and I know there were a bunch of options for GM Andrew Berry. You know, there were trade options, there were free agent options. But you had Javon Hargrave, who was probably the most highly thought of defensive tackle in the free agent pool, you know, and he had 11 sacks last year. So he's 300 pounds, but, you know, when you have that many sacks, you think of him as a playmaker, as a pass rusher, where Tomlinson isn't that guy. The same with Draymond Jones, the St. Ignatius and Ohio State alum that signed it. So Hargrave winds up signing with the Niners for a big deal, 4 years, $84 million. I don't think the Browns wanted to spend that kind of money. And then you had Draymond Jones, who wound up signing a three-year, $51 million deal with the Seahawks instead of coming home to Cleveland. And I don't know if the Browns wanted to spend $17 million a year. You know, they wind up spending, I think it winds up being 14 and a half for Tomlinson per year. You know, so it's, I don't know if that's splitting hairs or not, but, you know, the Browns have salary cap issues, so I'm sure they're trying to save money any way they can. But the thing with Jones is he would come and he would be a little bit of a tweener, not the big, you know, he's 280 pounds. So he's not a run stuffer in your 4-3. You could count on him to hopefully go get the quarterback, right? Hopefully hold up enough against the run, maybe play him some at end. Like, it's just a different body type, different style than Tomlinson. And, you know, a little bit of that is, you know, what kind of flavor do you like? But like we talked about, Chud, they needed that run stopper. And I think if you're going to pay big bucks, yes, you like that pass rush ability, but then you have you really addressed the weakness? So, I think you can argue both ways. I like the idea of an aggressive attacking pass rushing D tackle, but you can't get back to basics. And it's, hey, you need somebody to stop the run. And that's what Tomlinson will do best with a little bit of pass rush ability on top of that.
Yeah. So big news for me this week, Scott. After 2 months, I'm back on Twitter. I was locked out for 60 days. And, we can make fun of Twitter all we want. And believe me, I do. And there's a lot of negativity on Twitter. But, boy, when you don't have it, you realize, like, the information and the quickness of Twitter and, you know, what it does for you. it's good to be back. But
I know. It's good to have you back, buddy.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. I saw you wrote that, and thanks for the love. It's hard to get love on Twitter, basically. So the reason I'm bringing that up is because it felt like early on Twitter, not that Twitter wins or calls the shots, but do you feel like early on maybe people were a little negative because they missed out on those bigger names, the guys for more money? But then as the week went on, things started to shape out a little better? Or am I reading that right, or am I wrong?
No, I think you're reading that right. I think, and I wrote a little bit about this in an analysis one of the days this week. They all blend together. For me, you're glued to Twitter. You're glued to your phone, right? You can't take a break. And so the negotiating period started Monday at noon. And I expected news relatively quick. So then... Yeah. It goes a couple hours and there's nothing. And then you get the Okoronkwo news at about 3 o'clock. You go, okay, well, that's one of the moves, right? That's one of the big moves. But what about D-tackle? What about D-tackle? Because I really thought they'd address it quickly, you know, when the negotiating period started. And then you see Hargrave sign with the Niners. Then you see Jones sign with the Seahawks. And, you know, it's been like 6 hours, right? So, like, there's months left until the season starts. Free agency goes forever, right? Never really ends. It just starts. But I think you do feel, and I'm sure I know the fans feel this way, you feel some anxiety, right? You feel some angst going, hey, where are they going to sign someone? They're letting these guys get away. And I would assume that there's that same feeling inside buildings, right? Whether you're the Browns or the Jets, whoever it is, you get that thing. Here's our list, and guys are getting crossed off our list, right? So I do think that was a sense Monday. And I know some people believe, you know, the Tomlinson signing was kind of like, okay, we better get somebody. So the Browns went and paid and maybe even overpaid for Tomlinson. I don't view it like that. I view it as they addressed the need. They had no other choice but to do it in free agency. Or let me say, with a veteran. They could have found a trade, but you got to find a willing trade partner, right?
Yeah.
The draft did not seem like a reasonable solution to me. So if you got to go find somebody, and all you've done is complain as a fan base for months that the D tackles aren't good enough, and the defensive coordinator gets fired in part because of that, then you better bring somebody in, and you better bring somebody in that you believe is near the top of that list, if not at the top of that list. And that's why, you know, I don't blame them for signing Tomlinson. I think he has a chance to be a really good player here. He's had a strong career. And you're going to overpay guys in free agency. That's just how it works, right? Teams try to keep their best players. They don't become free agents. So the guys that are left get overpaid, and that's how it is. And, you know, you can argue that by, you know, missing on some draft picks, right, by Jordan Elliott not turning into the stud, at least yet, you know, by Taven Bryan being a one-and-done last year, Tommy Togiai, right, Perrin Winfrey still a question mark. You can point to all those things. But the reality is the Browns needed at least one D tackle, and they went and found a high-quality one on the first day, and I just think it makes sense.
Looks like maybe they got some guys with some high character, perhaps, and also with some experience of being on winning teams.
Yeah, and Tomlinson, for sure. He was the Giants' Man of the Year nominee in 2020. He was the NFL Players Association Community MVP in Week 9 last year for some charity stuff he does. So, high-quality guy. Kevin Stefanski mentioned that in the news release yesterday. And then Juan Thornhill, you know, in Ogbo, I'm going back and forth. Ogbo won a
Super Bowl.
Let's call him Ogbo. Yeah, he won a Super Bowl with the Rams, right? Didn't play a ton, but he won one. And he's immediately talking about wanting to win another one here. And then Juan Thornhill, who we should talk about a little bit, the safety from the Chiefs, he's won two Super Bowls. Right? He's been in the league for 4 years and has two Super Bowls and has played a bunch for the Chiefs. And so I think that does matter. I think that, you know, I think that winning experience is important. The locker room, we talked about chemistry last year. Are the guys committed enough? All those things that were issues last year that you try to address this year when you make your biggest acquisitions. And I think the Browns tried to do that. And then one last thing on Thornhill, you know, they had John Johnson and they decided to cut him. And I understand that. And they saved almost $10 million in salary cap room. And they decided not to pay him the $13 million he was due. And that makes all the sense in the world. Now, you have to replace him because they didn't have anyone on the roster. Now, I thought maybe you could wait to the draft and try to get somebody in the third round. But you probably have to have an insurance policy anyway if you did that. So they saved money. They got Thornhill, who I'm sure they think is as good or a better player than Johnson. And they're only paying him, you know, it's 3 years, $21 million. So it's $7 million a year. So it's almost half as much as Johnson would have made. And you have your starting safety. He's really explosive athletically. So that makes sense, too. Like, I just didn't think you could – and I guess I'm contrasting this with the thought of Jesse Bates, right? The Bengals safety was a free agent. I think he was going to command $15 million. I don't have – can't remember exactly what he signed for. He signed with Atlanta. I think it was $14 or $15 million. A year, to me, it didn't make sense to replace Johnson with a guy as or more expensive because you're trying to save money at some spots, right? You have a bunch of money committed to Deshaun Watson, obviously, even with the restructure of his contract. You got a bunch of money to Myles Garrett and down the list. And I thought safety was a spot where you could save some. And they did that while bringing in a guy who has been a starter for a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, no question. It seems like these guys seem pretty excited to come to Cleveland. I mean, I don't know if you can read much into that, but, you know, it seems to be the case anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're getting paid, right? I think this is probably as excited as you'll be. you know, you just get hired and sign the contract. But, yeah, I think, you know, they wouldn't come here if they didn't want to be here. I do think that's part of free agency, right? You get to choose where you want to go. And I'm not going to say no one ever signs begrudgingly because the money's just too big to ignore. But I don't feel like that's the case with any of these three guys.
Yeah, I take that back. That was a dumb question. But, I mean, obviously. But I was actually going to say, hey, yeah, they're getting the money, so they're happy. But
there is an excitement level.
I just saw some of the tweets, you know, coming.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're off base. I mean, there's an excitement level. There's talk about, hey, bring Cleveland a championship. Like, I think that's genuine. I just think there's a lot of reasons to be excited. And most of them end with, you know, millions of dollars.
Yeah, so officially John and Clowney are gone. Any more thoughts on Thornhill before we move on?
No. They got – again, to me, it's those three defensive guys, those three defensive positions were the most important. And now – we talked about maybe multiple D tackles, and they agreed to a 1-year deal with Maurice Hurst late last night. This is a guy that I liked coming out of Michigan. I think it was 2018. There were some health issues. He dropped in the draft. Hasn't played a ton. And then signed with the 49ers 2 years ago. Only played two games in 2021 because of, I think, calf and ankle injuries. Then last year, tore his bicep in training camp and didn't play at all. So I don't know how much you can count on him from an injury standpoint and from he just hasn't played a lot standpoint. But he's a guy that at one point people believed had some talent and some upside. I'm sure it's a cheap deal. And you needed to throw bodies at that position. So they've done that. And now, you know, if we just talk about checklist, the attention turns to receiver. And to me, that was the biggest need on offense. I didn't think they should break the bank on it. But how do they address that moving forward? I think it's the next question for Andrew Barry.
Yeah. So is that going to be through free agency or will that year around? They may stay there. That's definitely the next question, right?
Yeah. And I think a couple of things to consider are it hasn't been a hot market for free agent receivers. Juju Smith-Schuster signed yesterday with New England. You know, there's been a couple other guys here and there, but you know, I think Mecole Hardman is still out there. I thought he might be the highest paid guy. Jacoby Myers, the Patriots guy, signed with the Raiders, right? He was a big free agent out there. But so there's some guys still out there. I don't think the Browns are interested in spending a ton of money. Paris Campbell is still out there, and he intrigues me. The Akron native, played at Ohio State, has speed, and we talked about it a billion times, the Browns need speed. But the other area to keep an eye on, Chud, is there a trade possibility out there? And we saw it with Amari Cooper last year, and I don't think there'll be anybody as nearly as significant as Amari Cooper acquired. But is there, you know, just talk to Jerry Jeudy being on the trading block from the Broncos. Are the Browns interested in him? Do they have enough draft picks to get Jeudy from the Broncos? I think he's a guy that would interest him and interest the Browns, and it makes sense. I don't know if they can put the package together, but I would keep an eye on if all these top receivers get signed, then I think you have to keep in your back of your head, yes, the draft's a possibility, but also maybe the Browns could pull off a trade to address that weakness.
Yeah, it sounds like Jeudy, though. It sounds like the Broncos kind of want a lot for him, right? And then also just looking at him, you know, he has a decent amount of injury history. I'd be careful on that one.
Yeah, I think that's where there's going to be issues. And I was texting one of my buddies about this last night. I like the idea of him. I like the idea of him, you know, can you get him for a third and a fourth rounder? Okay, you know, if I were the Browns, I'd probably do that. They don't have first-round picks, and they don't have second-round picks to give up, right? Like, that's the cost of the Deshaun Watson trade. And if you're Denver, are you in such a hurry to get rid of him that you would take a couple of mid-round picks? Like, that just doesn't seem – like, it doesn't seem to fit. You know, if Denver could get a two or a one from somebody, yeah, they'd probably make the move. But the Browns don't have that to give, and I don't know if Denver's desperate to get rid of him. So – I've heard his name multiple times, so I wanted to put it out there, but it doesn't feel like it would work to me, but you never know. So I just kind of wanted people to have at least on the back burner.
And again, they restructured Watson's deal.
Yeah, and that created a bunch of cap space. Now, you know, I think it was $36 million in cap space, so they have room to do things. And when they sign a guy like Dalvin Tomlinson, I'm sure they backload it, right? So that saves them some salary cap space in 2023, eventually those deals become due. And even the restructuring of Deshaun Watson's contract, his cap hit for 2023 was going to be $55 million. And now it's like 19 because it saves $36 million. But then the next 3 years, the cap hit goes up to $64 million. So they're going to have to keep restructuring this. And there is a sense, and we can talk, you know, not right now, but about the realness or the fakeness of the salary cap. But at some point, those bills come due to some degree. And that's why you see guys get cut across the league, right? Just because there's decisions made. Hey, we just can't. This guy's not worth it from a salary or a cash standpoint anymore. And those decisions usually get made when you have salary cap issues. So, yes, they have room. Yes, they can do things. but they still have to be cognizant. And it's not like they can just blow it out like they did in the past when you're not playing, you know, when you're not paying your quarterback big money.
Just feels like monopoly money, right? When you say all the prices there all throughout this whole thing.
Doubt. No doubt.
Right? When you talk about Watson, it's like, doesn't seem real. But they kept a couple guys too. We're going to get to a guy that they lost here in a moment, but let's talk about some of the guys they kept and how you feel about that. Sione Takitaki, Posick, and AJ Green.
Yeah. You know, Chad, I actually think all those are significant to varying degrees. Probably let's go low to, you know, kind of smallest to biggest. AJ Green, it's an important position corner. He's an undrafted guy from a couple of years ago. I think he's played really well when given the chance. I don't know if he's a starting cornerback in the league, although his teammates tell you that he could be if he went elsewhere and wasn't behind, you know, Denzel Ward, Greg Newsom II, and Martin Emerson Jr. But he's a worthwhile guy. I think there's more importance to him given that Greg Newsom is not happy being in the slot. And Green gives you some flexibility there. So, you know, it's a one-year deal. He could have been an exclusive rights free agent. The Browns chose not to tender him. That's probably just a kind of a salary maneuver thing. But they bring him back. I think that's a good signing. Takitaki is coming off the ACL December 4th. The thought is he'll be ready at the beginning of the season or right around there, which obviously limits his attractiveness on the free agent market. So I think the Browns got a deal in bringing him back for it's just under $2.6 million. He played really well last year, showed versatility, showed that he could play in nickel packages, which he hadn't done in his first 3 years, played at middle linebacker and played well. And that was a position switch because he'd been on the strong side his whole career. So he's a good guy to bring back. Now there's still questions at that position. Do they bring back Anthony Walker Jr.? Do they add someone? But I think he's a good re-signing. It kind of worked out. I think it worked out for the Browns, the fact that he had the ACL, because I don't know if the Browns would have met what he would have gotten on the open market. But this just works, makes sense for both sides. And then Posick, you know, Chud, I thought he was going to hit the market and get a bunch of money. The way the market worked, it didn't turn out that way. Browns get him for 3 years and $18 million. $6 million a year is not a ton to pay for a center. It lets you keep your entire offensive line intact. He played at a really high level last year. They missed him when he was out 4 games with a knee injury. So these all makes – to me, these moves all make sense, and none of them break the bank. And, in fact, the only move so far that you could say is a super high-money deal is the one from Tomlinson, and we expected that for a D-tackle.
Yeah, no question. Tough to lose Jacoby Brissett, though, right? Tough to lose a good backup quarterback like that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. We knew he was going to leave, right? Like, that was just from talking to him and getting to know Jacoby. I mean, he took the Browns – he signed with the Browns because he knew he'd get a chance to start. And then he played well, exceeded a bunch of expectations, including mine. So there's no way he was going to say, I'm coming back to sit on the bench for 17 games behind Deshaun Watson. Like, that was not in his thinking. Now, if all the NFL jobs had dried up, then maybe he would have come back. But that wasn't the case. Teams need quarterbacks. The Commanders make sense. They've been talking big about Sam Howell. He's a fifth-round pick a year ago. He played one game. They're acting like he's the future. That's way premature. Jacoby Brissett gives them a good, solid alternative, a bridge quarterback if you need one, and I would not be surprised in the least if Brissett went in there and won that starting job. Was great in the locker room. I really enjoyed talking to him, had a huge presence, held down the fort in really difficult situations with all the Deshaun Watson stuff. I think the Browns had tiny hopes that maybe the – market would crash and Brissett would feel like, all right, I'll go back to the Browns. But in reality, that was never going to happen. So now they need a backup quarterback. And I would keep my eyes on Josh Dobbs. Was here last year. Browns cut him when Watson came back. I think he could be the guy that winds up being the number two.
And then how about Baker Mayfield? I mean, we still get to talk about him.
Yeah, Tampa Bay. You know what, Chud? I don't know if that's a good spot for him or not. you know, you're replacing Tom Brady. You know, he's got to compete with Kyle Trask, who's been in Tampa the last couple of years. That makes it hard. He knows the system, although we have a coordinator change down there. You know, you're replacing Tom Brady. Your team went to Super Bowl a couple of years ago, like won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. It feels like a hard spot, but there's certainly a chance, right? There's a chance to go and win the job and reestablish yourself. And that's Baker's goal. And that's part of why it's a one-year deal is, all right, if I play really well, then my options open up, right? It's not a lot of money. It's, I think it's $4 million guaranteed with a chance to make another $4.5 million. But it's interesting. You know, it's going to be fascinating to see, does he win the job? And then how does he play, right? Because he's such a polarizing figure, number one, and he's been so inconsistent, right? We saw him play really well, and then saw him not play really well to the fact the Browns decided they had to get rid of him and had to go make the controversial move to go get Deshaun Watson.
All right, so what's next on the radar? The combine, free agency, in full go. What's next?
Yeah, you know, free agency will continue. You know, I think the Browns are done. They're probably done making big moves. You could see, like we talked about, a receiver. You could see Anthony Walker Jr. re-signed, you know, moves like that. And then at some point, and probably within the next couple of weeks, the attention shifts to the draft, Chug. You know, it's at the end of April. Obviously not the buzz when the Browns don't have a first-round pick, but it's still important. They're still going to have needs to fill. This roster isn't deep enough. I think it needs to get more quality youngsters in here where when guys get older, when you need to make salary cap moves, you have people to step in behind. And it doesn't feel like there's a ton of that right now in this roster. And that's where the draft's important. I would say there's a little lull. There's never a lull. But there's free agency, and then there'll be a big ramp up to the draft. And then you get into, even before the draft, middle of April, you get the offseason program starts. And then players start showing up in Berea, and we'll start talking to people more and more. So I think that's pretty much what's coming up, Chuck.
All right. You got some interviews to do today, some basketball to watch with your Wildcats. And who knows how late you'll be up because they'll sign another free agent around 11 o'clock tonight.
I tell you what, it is a good thing I'm a night owl. But the problem is I keep getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock to check my phone to make sure I'm not missing anything. So it's not quality sleep.
See, now, I thought you got up at 5 a.m. to watch Go on Channel 3.
Oh, I record it, Chuck.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense.
Watching at my own leisure.
nicely done. All right. Well, if you're done, I'm done because I'm going to go take a nap because unlike you, I used to be a night owl, but now I'm not. So I got to go get some sleep.
God bless you. All right. Thanks for doing this, Chud. Appreciate it. We'll hook up one of these days, depending on how busy the Browns are. And certainly we'll, if we're not back next week, we'll be back at some point and start shifting our focus to the draft. So I appreciate Chud. I appreciate everybody listening. It's been another episode of the Zone Coverage Podcast, and you can read all my work at brownzone.com.